You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Recently, the body of Christian churches in Zimbabwe, under the auspices of the Zimbabwe Heads of Christian Denominations, issued a press statement titled Church Leader Statement on the National Crisis in Zimbabwe. Father Frederick Chiromba is the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops' Conference. Vatican Radio spoke to Father Chiromba and asked him to shed more light on the situation in Zimbabwe from the point of view of the Catholic bishops.
In the document, the churches also pointed out the current challenges the nation is facing, particularly on the economic front, you know, with the shortage of money in the country. In fact, at the moment, Zimbabwe does not have its own currency. It relies on the United States dollar. But apart from economic issues, also there was one key statement which the church leaders actually put in that document, and they were calling for leadership renewal, you know, that there should be leadership renewal at all levels, given the age of our president at 92. Of course, he's very clear in his mind, but biologically, things come to a stage, you know, in life where somebody, you know, can no longer fully function in certain offices, and hence even the churches were calling for that review, that leadership renewal. And this could be one of the reasons perhaps why there are now disturbances in the country, why there is some restlessness, especially within the nation, with various groups trying to come up, because perhaps they sense, you know, a leadership vacuum there, that now is time perhaps to be talking about succession, but then what is coming is not a clear succession structure, but what is coming up are various groups, you know, a jostling for power even from within the same ruling party. And really, this puts the nation in a very precarious situation, because you don't know, if there is no clear structure, which way, you know, things will go. It could be that in the end things will work out very well and succession will take place smoothly. But on the other hand, from what we have been seeing with these various jostling groups, we have been very fortunate so far that we don't have any militia groups, you know, within Zimbabwe. It's a peaceful nation. But when people break up into factions, then there is the danger then, you know, of degenerating into factions that then eventually become militia groups. So we are hoping and praying that, you know, common sense will prevail and that the nation will actually stick to the provisions of the constitution, and at the same time overcome the apparent denial even of biological processes, that, well, we need really to embrace life as it is and plan for the future.
That denial, I think, has been worrying in the sense that the ZANU-PF, the ruling party, doesn't seem willing to let go of the president, and maybe the president himself also doesn't seem to want to name a successor or an heir apparent. Almost a stalemate. And then we have in between a new movement which has been coming up with the flag movement. What is that all about?
Yes, there has been some reluctance, particularly on the side of the ruling party, to actually come up with a clear succession plan, because unfortunately, you know, there are various factions within the ruling party itself, so they cannot really settle for somebody. On the part of the president, you know, his argument is that he has been put in that office by the people and it is his party that chose him, and if they don't want him anymore, they need to say it and nominate somebody else. And in that context, he's right. But on the other hand, it seems in his party there's so much fear, you know, given the style of leadership that has prevailed over the years. There's so much fear that nobody really dares then to say, to nominate somebody to say must succeed the current president. So really, it's a situation of fear, but behind doors, one understands that even members from his party, they are clamoring for this leadership renewal. Now you ask about, he's a pastor who has come up with a movement, you know, the flag, the national flag or this flag movement. Well, it's an initiative. He simply started on his own, and he says it simply dawned on him after he failed to pay school fees for his own children that then he thought of going out and actually saying, well, what are the leaders doing about our nation? And that's how the movement then started. It's not really a political movement. It's a movement based from the grassroots, you know, the citizens actually putting their views forward. But in our situation, you know, anything can happen now, particularly when there's no clear succession plan. Anything can happen. Any movement can begin, and then people go for that movement because people are hoping for some salvation, for a way out of this situation. So I see it mainly, you know, as a situation where people are simply saying anything goes rather than to say this is it. I wouldn't give much credit to the This Flag movement except that it has captured, you know, the imagination of the people about what is possible. But virtually there are no political ambitions or any policies that they have put forward. They couldn't form a government tomorrow if they were asked, because it's not in the first place a political movement.
Could that be a sign that perhaps the opposition parties are in disarray and people are looking for something to champion their cause? What is your take of the opposition? We should play a rightful role in preparing to be the next government.
Yes. Unfortunately, the opposition parties seem to be in disarray as well. The strength of the opposition parties over the years has mainly relied on their opposition to President Mugabe. As long as they were criticizing him and opposing him, they seem to be united, they seem to be powerful, you know, in their criticisms. But I think they have a challenge of coming up with a clear policy for the nation, something that rallies them around. And unfortunately, we have had this fragmentation, even opposition parties, where people seem to say, well, if you are not number one, then you are no one. I think it's time for the church to be stepping in and preach to them, you know, that, well, if you want to be number one, then be no one, as our Lord says, you know, be servant of all and last of all. And perhaps this is what this flag movement is all about, you know, that somebody who is a nobody really has come forward because he simply put himself at the service of the people.
Perhaps this is an unfair question to you being Secretary General. Is it true that we hear of rumors that the bishops are divided? Some seem to support the opposition, some are for the government. Can you clear the air for us?
Well, I've been Secretary General for 12 years now, it's more than 12 years now for the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops' Conference. And in all the meetings, I find the bishops have been able to come to, you know, a concrete resolution. The conference has never had problems in analyzing the situation, or perhaps there may be initial differences about how to resolve, you know, those challenges. There are no differences at all. The bishops are all agreed on matters of principle. You know, we have the clear social teaching of the church, and for the church that serves as a guide, and it's very unifying in that respect.
Given the explanation you've given on the economy, the challenges of the economy, families in Zimbabwe should be under a lot of pressure. How is the church giving guidance, pastoral support to families under stress economically and also just maybe spiritually, and just being tired of the whole crisis after crisis?
Well, the church continues to give a lot of support to families, accompanying them. You know, over the years, many breadwinners have lost their jobs. You know, many young men are unemployed now. When you come into Zimbabwe today and visit, say, rural areas and shopping centers, you know, one gets the impression that, well, that the whole country is on retirement, you know, because you have young people, you know, loafing around doing nothing all day, middle-aged men and old people, you know, sitting together doing basically nothing that is productive. So really, yes, there is that kind of suffering where traditionally people would find a job, you know, they would earn some money and be able to support themselves. But as it is now, many men are unemployed, and so too the women. So you find people just sitting in their homes, but at the same time, they have families to support. And people are now talking even about a lost generation of the youth, you know, youth who could not go to school and are not even working. That culture of working, you know, has been destroyed. And the only institution that is there to support, you know, those families is the church. But at the same time, the church itself, of course, does not have money to give to those families. What it can only do is to support them through this situation in the hope that there will be a better tomorrow.
If you were to make an appeal to the Universal Church, what would you like Christians in the rest of Africa to do to think about Zimbabwe?
At the moment, again, going back to the document of the Zimbabwe Heads of Christian Denominations, you know, the country has been struggling under sanctions where, you know, developed nations have been unwilling to trade with Zimbabwe. And what the church has been saying is that, well, please lift any restrictions so that at least there is trade. That will alleviate, you know, the problems many people are facing at the moment. So really the appeal would be for the Universal Church. Of course, we've approached some conferences as well to speak on our behalf, you know, to their governments, particularly Great Britain or in America, to speak to their governments about the lifting of these restrictions. Because ultimately it is these restrictions that are actually killing the ordinary people. The world over, you know, talks about targeted sanctions where they nominated some people whom they said they didn't want to trade with. But the overall impact of those restrictions actually are affecting the generality of the people without actually affecting those who were targeted. You know, if there were any sanctions that were off target, you'd have to go to these sanctions to see how off target they are. They actually hurt the ordinary person in the street instead of those targeted. Those targeted actually have everything. Their children are overseas, you know, studying in those countries which imposed the sanctions in the first place. And when they fall sick, they are not treated in the country. They go outside the country where they get good health facilities. So, yes, I think that appeal of the heads of Christian denominations was quite in order, you know, that, well, let's get rid of these restrictions that are hitting the ordinary man in the street and find other ways of resolving this situation, which should not take long now anyway.
Lastly, there are many Zimbabweans in diaspora. Do you have a message for them?
Well, one thing one needs to do is to thank those in the diaspora, you know, for the money they have been sending to their families. You know, many families have actually depended on those on remittances, the money they have been sending back home. And now moving forward, it's really an appeal to them to continue to love their country. I know when things get back to normal, not all will want to return to Zimbabwe. Some have already been, you know, integrated into the communities in which they are working. But it's important still to continue to love one's home. And we are very proud, particularly of the Catholics in the diaspora, because they continue to be in contact with the conference to inform us of what they are doing, you know, in the various countries where they are. And our conference, too, has been in touch with conferences overseas, and they are really happy to have Zimbabweans who are active in church, and some have become even leaders within the parish councils there, you know, given the diminishing faith in some of these countries. You find Zimbabweans then leading, you know, church services. So in a way, we have also become missionaries even to those countries. So I'm grateful for what the people in the diaspora are doing. If only together with those who are at home, they could continue to think about ways of resolving this crisis.
I've been speaking to Father Frederick Chiromba, the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Catholic Bishops Conference. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudato Jesus Christus.